This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Hello, hockey fans, and happy Halloween. Yeah, so today is Thursday, October 31st, 2024. It is Halloween night. And welcome to 5-on-3, WFUV Sports' best, if only, hockey podcast. Joining me tonight are New York Islanders beat reporter Nick Palmer and making her debut on air for WFUV Sports, Sophia Smith. I think some stick taps are in order.
Stick taps.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So, we've got a bone-chilling show for you
today.
Also holding things behind, holding things down behind the board for us today is Daniel Melia.
Holding down the IFB button behind the board is Daniel Melia.
Always got to mention the producer back there. We've got the usual suspects, New Jersey Devils, New York Rangers, New York Islanders. We'll all get their time today, and we'll get into a little bit of general NHL happenings before that. But before any of that, how are you guys doing today? Nick, we'll start with you.
I'm doing great. I'm in my Halloween costume. I was at the World Series last night, where the Dodgers won. So if anyone knows, this is a hockey podcast, but grew up in Los Angeles for 18 years. However, I spent a lot of summers in New York, so I have a lot of love for both teams, but at the end of the day, it's LA at heart. And getting to watch them win the World Series was special. But today's Halloween, I'm dressed as the top of the fifth inning from yesterday's game in which the Yankees made a lot of errors.
He's literally just trying to rage bait me.
I'm going to get people are going to try and fight me all night tonight, but I'm ready for that. I'm excited. We have a new member of the crew, Sophia. So I like to get a sort of a gist of whenever we have a new person, like where their allegiance lies, what they're passionate about hockey wise. So do you want to just give us a quick little rundown of
sure.
your hockey fandom?
I am a Rangers fan.
Ooh.
Do or die.
That's fine. That's fine.
Chris Kreider is the best hockey player ever. Like,
it's a good Ranger.
No argument. I'm also a little bit of a Florida Panthers fan. Their cup run in 23 was like the catalyst for my.
That's very Nick Palmer of you.
How in what way? In what?
Oh,
way?
Like do we have to bring up the Yankees Dodgers thing?
But like mine is justified. Do you have any family in Florida? Or?
No.
See,
I just liked seeing them beat Boston. So
your dress is the top of the fifth. You don't get to like. You're just like making me angry. Like more and more as time goes on. But sorry, Sophia.
No, I my brother plays hockey. I've like grew up in a hockey family.
What position does he play?
Wing, left wing, I think.
All right. I was a goaltender.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right. So hockey's going on. The Devils are at the top of the Metro?
Yes, they are. But they do still have four games in hand over the entire rest of the league.
Important asterisk.
So, I mean, I will continue to say that they are the top of the Metro and they are the best team. Technically the best
counts.
Team in the Eastern Conference, best team in the NHL.
Hey.
Maybe.
Well, what's going right? Because last night at Vancouver, they take that big dub, right?
Yeah, they got a huge, huge W in the second ever Hughes Bowl, full Hughes Bowl.
Right.
All three Hughes brothers together on the ice at the same time for the second time ever now in the NHL season. I wonder if they'll ever meet in the Cup Finals. That would be a crazy Hughes Bowl Cup
Final. That's very possible.
That would be wild.
But that would be crazy.
They did play last night. Just before we get to the Devils, I want to touch on like just a couple things.
Sure, I jumped the gun.
The yeah, no, that's fine. Marc-Andre Fleury played his possible last game ever in Pittsburgh. Just I think it was either last night or a couple nights ago. Gets a nice send off. Also gets the W. I thought it was a really cool moment. Like he got interviewed afterwards. The fans stuck around for ages. Just to see Flower. I thought it was really cool. And if that's how he goes out in Pittsburgh, I think it was a perfect way.
Yeah, he. I grew up watching Marc-Andre Fleury. Right, he's one of the few players left where we can definitively say, "Hey, I grew up watching this guy." And seeing just his personality, he was always a role model for me as a goaltender. It was really him, Carey Price, and Jonathan Quick were my three idols growing up. And the way he gets along with his teammates, he always likes to play pranks on his teammates, and he seems like a great vibes guy. And for a backup goalie, vibes guy is exactly what you need. So, stick taps for Flower, and gonna miss him.
I thought it was so cute seeing all the fans with their posters because, like, they were there mm-hmm. and they came just for him, and it was really adorable to see.
And all the jerseys, too.
Yeah.
Like, all the old yeah. Pens jerseys. It was just really, like, an all-around a really cool moment. In other news, the club valuations came through, and every team in the NHL is now worth more than $1 billion U.S. dollars. This is the world without the Arizona Coyotes.
Don't forget, though, the NHL, Gary Bettman paid Alex Morello $1 billion.
That is true.
To relinquish the Coyotes' name. So
if the Coyotes were still the Coyotes, I imagine they would have still been valued at around a billion or $1 billion+. But the Rangers went up by $3 billion.
That's crazy.
And that's in one season, right? They do it every year?
Yeah.
So $3 billion increase in valuation for the Rangers. They are now second in the NHL in total valuation. Toronto Maple Leafs have the lead. The Boston Bruins are in fourth, and the Montreal Canadiens are in third.
They're beloved.
I mean, of course.
They're beloved up there. What do you think is the reason why the Rangers have...
Well, they're an Original Six franchise, that definitely helps. And then also it's in New York, and they play at MSG.
Right,
but
is there anything like this past season that's really increased the hype
around
the Rangers?
I mean, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, so I think that definitely drawn in attention.
Where they lost to your Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
That doesn't sit right with me.
It was unfortunate, but it was... I got to see them win the cup, so
yeah.
Okay.
President's Trophy too probably helped.
Oh yeah,
even,
that too.
Like even with the curse, a President's Trophy is a President's Trophy.
Yeah, the hype around Matt Rempe too.
Yes, definitely.
And of course, Jonathan Quick.
Was that Quick's son who was dressed as
yes.
Matt Rempe?
So
yes,
so adorable.
That's so funny.
Cash Quick is his name. He's 4 years old, and if you don't know the story, Matt Rempe is living in the guest house of the Quicks. And Quick loves having him there. He's a good mentor. And apparently Cash loves play fighting with Rempe. So that's really cute to see.
Yeah. So just one more thing from the NHL before we get into our specifics from New York area. The Winnipeg Jets are an absolute wagon. And that's all I have for the notes. They are a wagon. They won 8 games in a row.
They weren't supposed
to start the season.
I feel like they do this every year. They always have like this hot streak.
They
not
did
like
have
in
a
the
hot
beginning,
start last year.
But like, well, I feel like last year didn't they like go on a crazy run last year too? I feel like
they did. They were on a good run for a long time.
And then they always end up losing like in the first round or in the playoffs anyway. I don't know. I don't buy it.
Yeah, and I mean they did finally lose that winning streak to the Toronto Maple Leafs the other night. They bounced back and immediately won their next game. I think they're sitting at 9-1-0, I think, now. I'm pretty sure it wasn't overtime against the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, no, I mean, we basically said it for all of last season. We were like, look out for the Winnipeg Jets because they were sitting at the top of the Western Conference for the entire season. So this kind of just throws them up top again with a crazy hot start. I imagine it'll take a while. It'll take either a long time for other teams to catch up or just like one nasty losing streak. But again, I don't see them going on a long losing streak. So.
I saw the Gabe Vilardi rise coming from a mile away. He was an electric young player on the LA Kings a couple years ago. And really, now that he's getting first line minutes with Scheifele and Connor, he's totally unlocked a new aspect of his game. So, yeah, good for Gabe Vilardi. But even guys up and down, like, Perfetti's been good. Ehlers has looked like a new version of himself. I mean, really, this team, I feel like we always sell them short for what they are. And also, Rasmus Kupari, Alex Iafallo, fourth line, is gross. I don't know. Winnipeg Jets are good, man.
Well, the Winnipeg Jets are back again. I'm sure they'll continue to be a problem for the rest of the season. But
I just don't think it ever translates in the postseason.
It doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And it didn't last year. Yeah. I mean, but we'll move into our New York area teams now, starting with the team from New Jersey, my Devils. Last night, we spoke a little bit earlier, they got a 6-0 W out on the West Coast in Canada, in Vancouver. They were blistering all game. The pressure was there. From the puck drop in the first period straight for 60 minutes. they did not take their foot off the gas for even a second. And a Markstrom shutout, just props to a total just team dominating win by the Devils.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about the fact that Elias Pettersson kind of sucks this year? He has one goal and three apples. And not only is the stat sheet not lining up, he's not shooting the puck at all, which is not typical from him. And even though the Canucks are, you know, 4-2-3, that's a lot of OT losses for a team that's supposed to be at the top of the Pacific Division. So, I don't know. Do you get worried that their guy isn't producing?
I think there you could definitely have concern. But I think Pettersson's one of those guys where, like, you can have a slow start to a season like this, but it'll just take, like, one game for it to, like, flip the switch, and then he's back. But, yeah, I mean, the Canucks had what? They had, like, six All-Stars last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the number was insane.
What? It was Hughes, Pettersson,
JT Miller.
Did Besser make it?
Demko went, too.
Besser went.
Yeah.
So at least five. I'm pretty sure the number was, like, six, possibly even seven. They had a lot of All-Stars last year. More than anybody else in the NHL. So I don't know if I'm, like, super surprised that, like, they don't have everybody firing again.
Right.
But for it to be Pettersson, it's remotely concerning. But again, I think he'll show up eventually. Still, I was not expecting the Devils to pick up a shutout.
Yeah.
On the road against Vancouver. I was, like, I was talking to one of my other Devils fans friends before the game, and I was like, no, I'm not worried. They're beating Vancouver. They're road dogs anyway. Like, the Devils just can't play at home.
Right.
Or they play, like, just, like, worse at home for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But they go on the road, and they're absolute dogs, which is why I'm fully confident in the rest of this road trip, too. They're going to Calgary next, and then they'll go to Edmonton after that. And I think they, like, even with Calgary playing the way that they are, I think
they've
like,
lost four in a row now.
They did slow down.
Yeah.
Which I think puts the Devils in prime position to beat the Flames. And then that same Devils friend, he said, and Edmonton is Edmonton. And I was
no
like,
McDavid.
No, McDavid's Connor ankles McDavid. Hurt. McDavid is down. Was that like 2 to 3 weeks,
two
I think?
2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If you're going to beat him now.
I'm playing Jack Warner in Hockey Fantasy this week, and he has Connor McDavid. And he's just been sitting at the top of his roster. In play, not on the bench. He's just sitting up there. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Look at Connor McDavid go scoring no points.
Awesome.
Edmonton hasn't been good, though. I'm surprised after... like they lost in the Cup Finals last year, and they haven't really picked it up.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, last year they did not look like a Cup Final team at like in the first month of the season. In October, they were barely even a postseason team.
But they can't really do the same thing they did last year. They can't just fire their coach and get a new one.
That's true.
They like novel.
Well, I mean, they could, but it would be horrific for like locker room synergy.
Yeah.
So probably they will not. They definitely won't fire Chris Oblak, but they're gonna have to.
Davo loves.
They're gonna have
too.
To figure something out.
He coached Davo in juniors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Forgot about that. Nico Hischier is nuts.
He's good.
I believe he still leads the league in goals, unless
he does.
A few goals were scored tonight already. There are a few games happening tonight, but none of the New York area teams are playing. Andre Palat also put one in the net for the Devils last night. He had not done anything so far this season. So that is what really, I think, told me that this was a team win, was that even Andre Palat got in on the scoring. And the Devils had lost four straight going into the Anaheim game on Friday.
Yeah.
They had also lost 5 of 6 before that game. Now they're winners of 2 in a row. 2's a streak, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And they've scored 6 goals in both of their last 2 games against the Ducks and the Canucks. And they had not scored 6 goals yet this season.
What are you seeing from the Devils defensively and neutral zone-wise? Because I covered a Devils-Islanders game last week. It was my first time at the Rock. Just a quick little tidbit. When you're up there in the press box, those hanging speakers block your view of the ice entirely.
Yeah, they do. If you're in the wrong spot, there is literally just a speaker. In the seat that they assign FUV at the Prudential Center, the speaker is right over center ice.
Right.
So you can't see the puck drop when it's done at center ice.
That said, I thought it was a charming little building in the north of Jersey. And
it's nice. It's a nice little spot.
I hate the Prudential Center.
Okay, well,
actually, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Ranger fan. Just unfortunately, as a Devils fan, I can't say, like, I can't just be a hater and say I hate MSG because MSG is the most famous, like, the world's most famous arena.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really hate MSG.
But if you ask which of the three arenas is the nicest,
is it UBS?
It's UBS Arena.
They UBS
built
is
it.
The
I know they built it 4 years ago. It's beautiful.
I think that it is beautiful, but I don't think you can beat MSG.
I think the big statue outside of the Prudential Center is pretty cool.
Dude, that's the one thing.
If you crouch
you
down
keep
next to it, you look like the puck.
That just shows Devils fans have a lot of time on their hands. All right. Yeah, so Nico Hischier, 10 goals. He leads over Kyle Connor, Nikita Kucherov.
Nuts. He's so nuts.
And Cole Caulfield is nuts this year, dude.
Isn't he playing? I think he's playing with Gaudreau's number now.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he's
13. Know that.
Which is interesting that he's having such a great season now that he changed the number.
Wow.
Kind of wild. Just more like that story still hangs over the head of this whole season, I think, and probably will continue. But I mean, it's just cool. It's cool to see Caulfield having a season like that after making that number change. But regardless, Devils top of the Metro. They got Calgary next. Great team win against Vancouver, and Markstrom looked great. Oh, he looked so great. There's games where you're like, eh, but that last night was like, this is why we got Jacob Markstrom.
Right.
So, moving on to the New York Rangers. This is the first episode of 5-on-3, I'm pretty sure, since they signed Alexi Lafreniere.
Oh, is it our
to
first
a 7-year
episode?
Extension? Yeah, because I think we covered that on 1-on-1 last weekend. Mm. So this is the first episode of 5-on-3 since that happened. Huge pickup for the Rangers, I think. Alexi Lafreniere is the futures guy. I would say.
You know that like SpongeBob meme where it's like Squidward on the ground going like future. that's Lafreniere.
Lafreniere.
Yeah. I don't know where you're at, but to me, in the next year or two, he should be leading the power play one. To me.
Okay, I think the exact same thing. I don't know who you would take off the power play.
Mika.
Yeah, it's Mika.
He sucks.
I think that the power play hasn't even been good the past few games. I feel like I want to see Laf on it. I want to see what he can bring to it. I'm really excited about the deal. I've always been a Lafreniere advocate. Mm-hmm. So
7 years, $52.15 million.
It's gonna be a bargain in about 5 years.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, So I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But you know, I'm sure it will. Like Lafreniere has looked good. There have been questions, obviously, asked, like, season in, season out, because he's not, like, he's not taking over yet. But once he does, it'll be insane. And $7.45 million against the cap is going to be, it's going to feel like nothing. The only thing that I suppose the first thing I thought of when I saw the news that they re-signed Lafreniere was, what does this mean for Shesterkin now? I'm not sure without access to cap friendly. Shout out the Capitals for ruining that for everyone. But I'm not sure about what the Rangers cap space.
I got
like.
You right now using Puckpedia, which is the new best website.
All right,
they're gonna have a projected cap space of $485,000.
Okay,
oh,
so where is Shesterkin going? Because it does not seem like he's going to be back in New York with the cap space like that.
Unless if they make some trades.
True,
they
but
totally
they would have
could.
To. They would have to offload.
They would have
they,
to.
They would have to offload some.
Yeah.
I think they would have to offload some some players that are like decent contributors that may it, and those trades might actually be detrimental to them down the road if they lose depth, just to try and keep Shesterkin. This is where you kind of have to start weighing, like, can we get a serviceable goaltender and keep, like, the core of everyone else, or do we need Shesterkin? And based on how he plays when he locks in, like, I'm talking about, like, fully locked postseason Shesterkin.
I gave false news. I wanna back that
up.
Oh,
about the cap?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm seeing reports Drury will have about $18 million to play with to get Shesterkin's signature on an extension.
Okay. Well, they have room, but they already offered him 11, I believe. Correct.
Yeah.
He's
not going to take anything less than 12
and a half. So it's going to have to be 12 and a half. if we assume it's 12 and a half or maybe 13, that's like 5 million left they have to work with, 5 or 6 million of cap after Shesterkin. They don't have a lot of wiggle room.
They have 12 players under contract for 2025-26 and RFAs of Keandre Miller and Kaapo Kakko.
And so many of the guys have no move clauses.
Well, you know, that didn't really affect your dealings with Goodrow, did it?
No.
When you absolutely just shafted Goodrow.
I have no hard feelings about that.
No, I know you don't. He does. He's stuck on the San Jose Sharks.
Well, I guess stuck, but obviously Macklin Celebrini got hurt, but like, you know, there's San Jose is not going to be
they're at the bottom of the league.
But they're not going to be in the basement for the next or they might be in the basement for another year or two. Maybe three.
We said that about Buffalo 8 years ago.
Buffalo is a whole other issue.
Like I don't even know. Buffalo's an anomaly. I feel like whatever they put out on the ice is just not going to pan out well for them.
It's hard to predict when teams are going to come out of the cellar. It really is. Like, we've been calling the Ducks out of the cellar for the last year or two. We've been calling, maybe not Chicago, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's tough to predict.
And Daniel Melia just IFB'd me. He said the Sabres are the Jets of the NHL. And
they are the Jets because
they literally are.
Yes, because both teams have not made the playoffs for 13 straight years. They are exactly the Jets.
But anyway, back to the Rangers.
The Rangers.
Right, the Rangers. Forgot about them for a second.
Forgettable team.
Their last game came on Tuesday night. That was two nights ago at the Washington Capitals. They took an L, 5-3. But again, like it's on the road. A 5-3 loss. It's not terrible. You are the Rangers, though, so like, kind of expect to beat the Capitals, but like the Caps have been kind of they're like a weird problem team in the Metro. Like teams always tend to underestimate them and then slip up and lose.
Well, Ovi just cooked that night.
Doesn't help.
Alex Ovechkin did score twice, but the Devils just lost in OT on home ice to the Capitals, and then obviously this game the Rangers going into Washington would expect to win. The Devils beat the Capitals in Washington earlier this season. Rangers coming in totally expected to beat the Capitals within division, so it might be important down the road, and you take a loss, and it's like this is kind of what the Caps do. What the Caps have been doing over the past couple of years as their window it's closed, I think now. If there was a window, like
the
OV window
last year.
They shouldn't have though.
But they did.
But they did.
Did the Devils make the playoffs last year?
We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to.
I don't think they did.
Was the Lindy Ruff season. We don't need to talk about that.
In that Capitals Rangers game, I don't know what you saw,
Ruff season.
The Capitals tactic, as far as I'm concerned this year, is that they're too old and slow to play a full 60. So what they're going to do is they're going to get ahead in the first period and then hope to coast that out. That's what I saw, and it worked to perfection. Wasn't Shesterkin's fault. He stopped 41 shots.
No,
so.
I think that it was a defensive collapse of the Rangers. I was not impressed. They can't get the puck out of the zone, and they gave up 5 goals. So
what do they got to do to fix it?
I'm not impressed with the Lindgren and Trouba pairing.
Okay.
I think that you need to get Zach Jones in there. Lindgren doesn't seem to be at 100%, so why is he playing over a healthy Zach Jones?
They've been asking that question for about 2 years now. Why is this guy playing over a healthy Zach Jones?
Exactly. And like last season they went on like a good run when Jones was in and I think Trouba was out. So it's like clearly he does something good.
Or he's just not Jacob Trouba.
That's true.
Rangers forward Artemi Panarin also had his 8-point streak end in that game. Hey,
rough.
He's but 8 goals on the year so far? Good start for Brad.
Yeah, he's definitely bacon over there.
Shut up.
He's going to work. But we should talk about Mika Zibanejad a little bit because we mentioned him before. Palmer, you of course said that Mika sucks.
He does.
And
power play merchant.
I think it's really interesting that with Mika having another slow start to a season, that he's actually unhappy with his minutes right now.
He played 16 minutes.
I saw an article from the New York Post where he's quoted showing discontent with his minutes going down this season. Last year, he averaged 21 minutes. This year, it is 18 in the young season. I don't think as a player you can be... I don't think you can complain about playing time when you're not like making it happen with the time that you have.
Yeah.
That seems like bare minimum to me.
Is that also a function of just being on the Riley Smith line where your Cooley, Hedl, Kakko line is looking a little bit more attractive at the moment?
Yeah, I think that they're showing that they deserve that time, and so why would they give it to Mika's line when they're not doing anything? They're not, like, the Cooley's line or Hedl's line is like, they're doing so good offensively and defensively, and Mika's line is not really doing anything. They're giving up goals left and right, and they're not scoring. So why? I think that you need to give the time to the players that are actually making a difference and deserving it.
So are you outwardly bashing Kreider right now?
I don't know. No, but I don't know. I just think that Mika needs...
So not outwardly, but
not outwardly,
Mika,
internally.
Implicitly.
Yeah. Mika needs to make something happen.
It's Mika's fault the
second
line
isn't working.
Yeah,
it's Mika's fault.
Okay. We've got that cleared up.
Yeah.
So Mika's fault, and yet Mika's the one complaining. Seems a little interesting.
Interesting.
Just a little interesting there. It seems like things aren't exactly going as planned over on the other side of the river. You know, as a Devils fan and as also a Devils beat reporter, it's fun to see things in turmoil over there. You know, things not exactly working out well. But their next game will come against the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at MSG. Should be a nice little turnaround. Mm-hmm. Ottawa is irrelevant.
Hey, they're doing all right. They're 5-4.
By the end of the year, it's just not.
Hey, dude, I'm kind of, if there's one team that I expect to come out of the basement this year, it's the Ottawa Senators.
Not the Sabres?
No, I feel like Ottawa and Buffalo are kind of similar. Like,
that feels unfair to Ottawa.
But I just always think that something's going to change and they're going to get better. But
they are, on paper, I think that they're a lot better. Dude, that Stutzla-Kachuk line, that's pretty gross. Giroux
actually,
on the second line now.
Stutzla has been... how do you say his name?
Stutzla.
Stutzla?
That's how I say it.
Oh. Yeah, Stutzla.
I thought it was like Stoitzel or something German sounding.
It's the ooh-yee, yeah, the stupid thing. Yeah.
But anyway, he's looked very good.
Yeah.
When they played in Germany, he hammed it up over there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And also, I like their defense. I think the Sanderson pair is really good. Obviously, Tomas Chabot. Yeah, I've been happy with the Ottawa Senators. I think they'll be right on the bubble this year.
But the Rangers, if they are going to, like, if the Rangers are the Rangers, they beat the brakes off the Senators at home tomorrow night, especially after a loss on the road to the Caps. They got not to say they have to win, but like they should win.
They
should win.
They should. But they have. Hey, we forget Ullmark.
Yeah, that's true. And
can run into a hot Ullmark.
Did you see that weird thing that happened with Ottawa? Like, Ullmark and Forsberg were, like, they switched off. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll move into our last team of the night.
Jump another river.
Yep, just one more.
The East River.
It's the New York Islanders. And it is Halloween. And, you know, obviously, Halloween is a time for people to be scared. But... do Islanders fans have another reason to be scared? What is going on Long Island?
There's so many reasons to be scared right now. I don't know if you can see me. I'm quaking in my chair right now.
The whole studio is actually shaking right now because Nick is shivering so
much.
Dude,
everything is falling apart. I'm not even lying. Where to begin? Pierre Engvall, what a waste of a contract that's looking like. This guy... dude, he started the year in the AHL, and then we have Duke get hurt, so we're like, oh, God, we got to bring up Pierre Engvall. By the way, he's on a 7-year contract right now with the Islanders. Thank you, Lou Lamoriello. And, okay, when they signed Engvall on that contract, he thought we wouldn't notice because on the same day we signed Sorokin and Varlamov to those big contracts. He's like, I'm just going to sneak Engvall in there. Thought we wouldn't notice. We totally did. Yeah, there's no place for him. He's not a fourth-line winger. And that's the only spot that they have for him because he's not playing well. This could be a situation where they end up buying him out, I'll be honest. So, yeah, Engvall's problem number one. Problem number two is Waugh and Lamoriello are at each other's throats, apparently. Apparently. I don't want to start spreading false information because there's a lot of that on Twitter. But after a game, when asked about roster decisions, Waugh sort of threw his hands up and said, hey, that's what Lou asked for, which you don't hear from a manager very often.
That's actually really weird.
Which shows that that decision was not Waugh's, which means that there's some tension there between the two. And, you know, if you're looking at either one to get fired, I mean, I hope it's Lamoriello, but...
I don't know the nature of their relationship, but I feel like head coaches should be left to... like build the team as they see fit.
Yeah,
like obviously the GM is in charge of bringing players in.
Yeah.
But once the players are brought in, it's up to the head coach to like put the lineup together, put what he sees working well together. Like if those decisions are coming down from the front office, what is Waugh even doing there?
It's a very much money ball situation here where you have the GM calling the shots over the manager. I mean, I hope ownership steps in. I hope Ledecky steps in and says, hey, Lamoriello, you're, what, 81 now? Maybe it's time to hang up the skates, buddy. Hang up the skates. He's not playing, but you know what I mean. Yeah, because I think Waugh is a good motivator for this team, and Lane Lambert was not. And it felt a little bit like Lambert was in the pocket of Lamoriello, and I thought when Waugh showed up that would not be the case, but unfortunately it's looking like it. So those are the two big issues. And number three, Simon Holmstrom on the first line is not really working out as a winger, especially on the power play. Man, the guy just feels invisible out there. And, of course, Anthony Duclair is also hurt. Everything's going wrong on Long Island, which it UBS Arena is on Long Island. It's not in Queens.
Yes.
Shout out the people in Grace's replies being stupid.
Yep.
That's all I've got to say about that. They just lost a game to the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-0.
2-0. Yeah. Hot tender. Was Elvis Merzlikins just on
no,
one
that's their
for the Blue Jackets?
Fourth shutout in their first 10 games.
Yeah.
This could be an Islanders problem.
It is an Islanders problem. Ever since they lost Duke, the offense has been silent.
And it's not even like they were... like it's a 2-0 loss. Like you're not like if a 2-goal lead, you're not really ever out of the game. But it also was tied at 0 up until the third.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up both goals in the third period. And I think the second one was empty net. Yeah. So
no, like, Varlamov
again,
was excellent.
They were in the game. Yeah, and like Sorokin too. Sorokin against the Ducks was not awful.
No,
but there was just nothing from the offense.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This was a Ducks team that was coming off a loss against the Rangers and against the Devils, and were then playing the Islanders in like the trio of Metro teams or New York Metro area teams.
Yeah.
And like to not like to watch the Rangers get it done, to watch the Devils get it done, and then to just fall flat against a team that has been like beaten around by the two other teams in your area. It's a little embarrassing, I think.
I'll tell
and
you
then
what.
2-0 to the Blue Jackets is like, ugh.
That 8x8 contract that everyone thought Noah Dobson would be getting ain't gonna happen. Ain't going to happen. You're not going to get that amount of years, and you're not going to get that amount of money. He's making way too many mistakes on the defensive end. And it's brutal to watch because last year was his breakout year where he was racking up points like it was nobody's business and playing good defense. And now it just seems like a big reversion, and all you're left with is two goaltenders sort of with their hands in the air saying, what the hell is going
help.
On? Yeah.
I feel even worse about the Devils like dropping that home game to the Islanders.
You shouldn't
last
have lost
week.
That game.
No, like, no. But it's like the home ice thing. They have no urgency on home ice. They let games
factor?
Get away. It is.
What do you think? Is home ice?
No, I think that's an excuse.
I think this is, yeah, this is some big
No, I'm saying the Devils don't play well on
you.
Home ice.
Yeah, no.
This is
they ought to. They should defend home ice well,
right.
But they don't.
Right.
And like, it's not even me. This is coming from Sheldon Keefe in the press conference this postgame. He's like, I have no idea what's wrong with us on home ice. We should be defending this building with more tenacity, more like ferociousness, but they just don't. And I watched it happen against the Capitals where they had a blistering second period. They scored 4 goals unanswered, and then proceeded to lose that game in overtime 5-4.
How are the crowds at the Rock this year?
They're good.
Are they?
Yeah, they're solid. It fills out before games start pretty well. But I was very disappointed in the Ducks game, actually, because it was a blowout. They were up I think 4-0 by the end of the second period, and it was 6-2 by the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But with like 8 or 9 minutes left in the third period, there were Devils fans filing out in a win.
Yeah,
wow.
Up by 3 goals, and I was like,
"Was there
I get
a World
it.
Series
it's
game
like,
to go watch?"
No, it was Sunday night, so I could guess like that would my guess was that it was late Sunday,
okay.
And people just wanted to get home because they had to get up early the next morning. And obviously, a lot of goals were scored, so there were a lot of stoppages. I think there was a fight. There's pretty much a fight every Devils game. I think somebody throws hands
Curtis
every
McDermott's
single game.
A dog.
True, he hasn't fought yet, but they're trying to turn him into a defenseman. He was wearing a defenseman's jersey in practice the other day, which I thought was really weird. But
he was a king, and he was bad on the ice, man. Not good.
While we're on attendance, what do you think about the attendance at UBS?
Awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's empty.
Is it really bad?
It's an empty building.
And I was watching the game a few days ago, and I was like, where are the people? Why is there nobody in the seats?
Yeah, it's a bad product on the ice, and you're going to get a poor attendance with a bad product on the ice. So I'm not going to start yelling fire Lou, but it's... creeping out of my
it's
mouth.
A whisper right now.
It's a yeah. It's
if you're sitting in the empty UBS arena during a game, you can hear a fan whispering, "Fire Lou."
That's good.
But a rocky start for the Islanders. They find themselves in the company of the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers down there at
both.
The bottom of the Metro. Obviously, the Islanders hoping for a little bit better. And of course, there's plenty of season left. That's why, like, early episodes are always interesting because we all, like, a lot of the takes from these episodes will probably wind up colder than a dead fish by the end of the season.
Yep. Colder than Elias Pettersson.
Yes, colder than Elias Pettersson.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
But
they play Buffalo tomorrow.
Yes.
In Buffalo.
Devils going to Calgary. Rangers playing at home against Ottawa. Islanders, you said,
in Buffalo
against the Sabres tomorrow. I think that'll just about do it for us today on 5-on-3, the Halloween episode. We got through a lot of content today, a lot of stuff from all the teams around the New York metro area. But, you know, I think I'm ready to go eat way too much candy and try to forget about this World Series. I'm going to try and forget that you wore this costume because it's still making me angry, and we've been doing the show this whole time, and I'm still just getting angrier. But for Nick Palmer and for our debutante, Sophia Smith, for Daniel Melia, our producer, and for our sports director here at FUV, Bobby Chaffardini, I am Tucker Austin saying good night. 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports. Happy Halloween.